Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that you help us to drown all the distractions in our lives right now, all the things that are happening in this world, and just in our lives personally, that we are here, God, just to focus on you. Lord, that we really worship you fully, Lord. Lord, that we just show you how much we love you. God, that we're just not attenders today, but we're participators in all that we do with one another. That we are the people that you've called to unity. Lord, help us be more unified as we should be. God, I just ask that the word we hear today, that it takes a deep root in our hearts. God, that it produces a fruit, and that we are fruitful people. And that, Lord, that we share that with the world about your greatness, your glory, all the great things that you've already done and you will do. God, help us to show this world the love that it is missing. Lord, help us to show the world a better way through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
I need to say something real before we start worship again. Today I just felt the Holy Spirit overwhelming us. I had a vision of God just loving us and just wanting to be a part of who we are. And what I am feeling, and I want this to be a part of each one of you to think about it. Look for expectations today. Look for something that God is going to do in your life. My vision was, I saw a mountain and I saw dynamite on that mountain, and I saw me walking away from the mountain and trusting God is going to do something, mind, body, or spirit. I feel like we're going to sit back and we're going to see the power. We're going to see the fire of God exploding your mountain. So in Jesus' name, I bless you. I expect God to do something miraculous today. And don't think that it may happen. It's going to happen through worship, through the preaching, and it may happen when you go home and you sit down in your quiet time. So expect something special to happen today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Woo!
You may be seated. You know, as we sang this song, Make Me in Your Image, how many of us would say, I want to be like Jesus? Well, what if I was to tell you that you are?
Amen.
The Word says that as He is,
so are we
in this world. And it shouldn't be hard for us to accept that, but yet sometimes it is. So, my message today, the title is Believe, and that's part of what I want to talk about here is believe. But as you believe these things, we should be able to do all that He did. And so, before we get into the message, I would like to dismiss the worship team. Please give them a hand. And we were created in His image. But why is it that we're not functioning in that way? So, Father God, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are here, Lord. And what the word today, church, is, I've been hearing a lot of expectation. Be expecting.
Yes.
We come in through those doors and we leave sometimes and nothing changes. Well, today something's going to change for you.
Yes.
So we pray that this morning, Lord, that we would not leave this building without knowing that something is changing, Lord. That mountain that has been in front of us, that concern that we've had, that place that we've been praying about, Lord, that we would believe that you are taking care of that for us, whatever that may be. It'll help us to just not hope, but to expect and know that you're bringing things to pass. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And I ask that you would speak through me this morning. And Lord, that before everyone leaves today, Lord, that they would know that they are different than when they walked in. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't think anybody else had a word to give. Nobody was standing there. So if you do, I'll still welcome you up here this morning. If not, I'll get started. Nobody? Okay. Not today, huh? Okay. I think you would all agree with me that we have a God that heals. Would you agree with that? We have a healer that we believe in. And so I'm going to ask, how many here have received a healing from God? There's a few that have received something, you know, something you were praying about, mostly in your body. So how many here, who has prayed for someone and then they received a healing? Okay. And now, who's still at this time waiting for a healing to take place in your body? Okay. I myself, 40 years ago, and I've shared this story with you before, but I was healed of a reoccurring back problem. I always had a problem since the age of 15 because I had a car accident that messed up my back. But since the age of 15, I always had an issue with my back. And God healed it. 40 years ago, God healed that back problem. So I am a witness that God does heal. Something that was upon me and made my days to go to work not so pleasant. And but yet I know that he took care of it. And to this date, 40 years to this date, I'm fine. Amen. My back is fine. So God does heal. But the thing about it is that even today, I have some other issues. You guys are laughing. I think you see more issues than I do. You've been talking to Stella, haven't you? I know. Boy, has he got a bunch of issues. No. yeah, you guys are not nice. But I have other things that are going on in my body that I'm waiting for God to heal. I'm not saying, okay, that's it. You know, I'm going to live like this. I am still, the word is expecting. I'm expecting that God's going to heal those things that are going in within my body at this moment. Now, some of these issues that are going on in my body, they developed as the miles increased. And we know about that one, right? And some because of the abuse that I put my body through when I was a younger man. And, you know, I think you all remember, right? We were invincible. Nothing would hurt our bodies back then. We could just go and not worry about how it was going to affect us in the long run. Well, some of those things are kind of creeping up there as time has gone on. So I'm going to use this little analogy here. I have an older truck. It's got over 200,000 miles on it. But it runs really well. Okay. But now when I change the oil, it's recommended that I use a high mileage oil. You know, an oil that is meant for an older vehicle, right? So now, if I want to keep this little old truck of mine running, I have to be a little more careful with it, use a little more care with the things that I do with it. You know, the things are still good. It runs pretty good, and I want to keep it that way. So I use a special oil now every time. That's just one part of what I do. Well, now I need a little extra care. And it's all because of those high miles, right? But I think I still run pretty good. And so as long as I can recognize those things that have changed in my body since the high miles, I could go on forever. Pastor Henry says we can live forever, right? Well, as long as I keep changing that oil, I might just make it that way. whenever God says, you know, that it's time, then it's time. You know, I want to be here as long as He wants me to be here. And I hope we're all feeling in that same general sense, you know. But yet, today, I see a few high mileage people here. And so, but we're good, right? We're still good. As long as we understand where we are, as long as we know that we can't be jumping out of places like we used to, or whatever it is that we used to do, sometimes not, but it doesn't mean that we're going to go and get in the fetal position and fold up. Okay, we just take a little better care of our bodies, okay? And so we're not going to let those high miles bring us down. So whatever it is, however God shows you to take care of yourself, as long as we do that, we're going to be good. And the thing about it is that if there are things that are going on in our bodies, that they don't have to stay there. Okay? And this is a little bit of what this sermon is about. The title of it is Believe. And I would say that we wouldn't be sitting here this morning if we didn't believe all the things that this book has written in it. We actually call believers, right? So we're going to go to our first scripture, which is in Mark 11, starting with verse 23. And it says, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And this, by the way, is also our power verse. But so my question to you is, can you really say, as we read this scripture, can you truly say that you believe that? You know, we're saying that we believe every word that's in this book. But can you really believe that whatever that mountain is, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a family issue, whether it's something that's affecting your mind, your relationships, whatever it is, can you believe that? He just told us there that it will be moved if you really believe. And then can you believe that whatever it is that you prayed for, that you asked for, that you will receive it. You're waiting to receive it. It says, believe that you have received it. You know, there's another story, and I don't have that scripture, but it just came to me where Daniel was praying, and, you know, it was, 11 days before he finally got the answer. Things happened from the time he prayed to the time that he got the answer. But God heard that prayer. Okay, so at that moment that prayer goes forth, it isn't like God saying, I'll put you on my appointment sheet here, you know, and then I'll look at you. He hears you. He hears what you're asking for. There might be some other things that are going on in our lives that maybe we still have to hear something. Maybe we still got to do something. Whatever these things are, there may be things that are holding up those prayers. And even like in Daniel, it was, the prince of that was against him, that came against him, that was holding up those prayers. They were doing battle up in the heavens, keeping those prayers from being answered. So that can be sometimes. But a lot of times also, it's just that God says, before I answer that, you need to learn something. And that's okay. So, this scripture that we just read, this is Jesus speaking. And if he says it is so, then can we really truly believe that? I would hope so. Yes. So, what I want to do now, as I said, most of what I'm going to be talking about, it has to do with a lot of miracles that Jesus did, physical or whatever, those things, all those places with the letters in red that he would speak to people. And, a lot of us have those on our Bibles, you know, where we see Jesus speaking, Jesus praying for people. And so this is a little bit of what I'm going to be looking at. So his mission, whenever Jesus was sent to earth, we all understand that he came to bring salvation to us. That was his main reason. It says God sent his son that he would save us, right? But one of the things that we have to look at too is that salvation wasn't the only reason he came. He was here for a very, very short time. When you really look at his actual ministry, it was somewhere between 3 and 3.5 years that he walked on the earth. And so when you think about what a change it made in the world in such a short time, and here we are with the high mileage, and what have we done, right? And that's not to cut anybody down. But that's, you know, for all of us, you know, 3.5 years and he changed the world. And so when we look at his ministry, it's like, yes, he died on the cross. He took our sin, made a way for us to be with him in heaven. But I think as he spent his time here, I don't think I know that as he spent his time on earth, he wanted to show us what we should be like. And so knowing that we needed to walk through this earth, he wanted to teach, he wanted to demonstrate what a kingdom citizen should look like. He wanted to equip us to be as strong and as faithful as he was. So he showed us how to pray. He showed us how to relate with his Father and all those that we are surrounded by. He showed us how to come against anything that the enemy could ever throw at us. Every word, every action was for us to embrace and imitate This was the deal behind it. He says, do as I do. Just watch what I do. Watch how I pray for people. See how I speak. And that's what he wanted to show. I mean, we're looking at him showing his disciples, but these words are written here so that we could see what he was doing and follow that same pattern. And then to make things even better is that he knew that we would need help. I need help. And don't laugh at that. I know. Don't talk to Stella no more. I always need help. But I think we all do. You know, we're all walking through our journey. We're all trying to do the right thing. We read our Bible. We pray for people. We're all going in the direction that we feel is where God wants us to go. But he knew we would need that help. So he left us his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the one that will lead us so that we're not having to walk alone, trying to figure things out on our own. He's there. All you got to do is call out to him. And even though we have the how-to in this book, now we need to lean on him to show us when to. When do we do this? When do we speak in a certain way? We have to rely on the Holy Spirit just as Jesus relied on his Father as he did things, as he went along life. And Jesus' healings were not a step-by-step procedure. From sticking his finger in someone's ears to placing mud in someone's eyes to just speaking the words. He did only as the Father directed, which is a great lesson for us. We must do only as the Holy Spirit directs. So the next time you see somebody walking around stumbling, don't go looking for mud. He might just be looking for his glasses, you know. So it's, you always have to analyze. You always have to see where it is that God is needing you. It's not always going to be the same way, just as Jesus wasn't. His healings were not in that same way. So one of the blocks that Jesus faced was that of unbelief. Unbelief is doubt, lack of trust, and looking everywhere but to God for the answer. So I want to look at three scriptures, starting with Mark 9, 14 through 26. And it reads, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that he has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they couldn't. And then here's some letters in red. This is Jesus talking. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Verse 19 here, I think it shows a little bit of frustration from Jesus. You know, here, he's been teaching them. He's been showing them. And I don't, you know, he's talking to all those that were there, and which includes his disciples. You know, the people that were surrounding them, They had seen him. They knew about him. The disciples had surely seen what he did and how he prayed for people. And so I believe that Jesus is, you know, just what he says, how long shall I be with you? I think sometimes he kind of feels that way with us, right? We're probably going, oh, Jesus, what do I do? Where do I go? He's going, oh, how long shall I be with you? You know, it's. I'm sure that he knows that we need what we're asking for, but I think by now most of us should already get it. And so, if you don't, you will be expecting that. So let's go on. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And here's Jesus again. If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Here's another question. You know, he's looking at it. What makes you think that I can't? And I think sometimes we have that same question. Will he do it? You know, we read all the scriptures that said that he did. And sometimes when it comes to us personally, we're wondering, will he do it?
Yes.
We know he can, but will he? You know, and this is part of what I think he's coming across here to these people. If I can, of course he can. And you need to take that in. He can do anything that we asked him. We just agreed that first scripture was it. If we ask him, he will move mountains. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And I think that is a cry from, I think, most of us, that sometimes we don't believe. We have this doubt that says, well, maybe he did it for that person, but he'll never do it for me. And the doubt can come upon us to the point that we're yelling out, help my unbelief. If there's anything that's blocking me from truly believing, we can ask him, help my unbelief. Help me to believe like you believe. So when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. And so I want to stop there because it seems like what's on verse 25, it says that he saw a crowd was running towards the scene. And we'll see a little bit later where... even later on in the stories here, when he healed that little girl, I think Talitha, and at that point there was people saying she was dead, right? But he wanted to go into the room, he asked everybody to leave, and so all he took into that little girl's room was his three guys and the parents. Because he didn't want any unbelief being in his atmosphere. He there's a lot of areas where he would separate people so that he would not have unbelief be a part of where he was. And so it says that the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And he stood up. And I want to look at that one too, because you think about it, with this young boy, you know, we read what the Spirit did to him, knock him down, wanted to burn him up, But whatever it was, this young man went through a lot of hard days in his life because of the spirits that were controlling his life. But this last part, I think I really spoke to me. I didn't even give it to Liz, but I wanted to bring it up, is that it says that Jesus reached down to him and picked him by the hand. He just didn't heal him and walk away. He lifted him, make sure that he was good. He took care of him. And that's something that we need to remember, is that when our healings come, whenever those things that we were praying for in our lives come to be, that it isn't like, okay, it's done. Let's go on to the next chapter. He will be with you, to walk with you, to make sure that you're doing okay. He's going to baby you. He's going to take care of you. He loves you so much that it isn't just about receiving a healing. It's about him walking with you from that point on. You imagine these parents, imagine that young man, after seeing this, you think they would ever want to not be around Jesus? If that would be their answer, I don't understand. Whenever you see, as far as the parents are concerned, whenever you see your child or somebody you love receive healing, and you know that it was Jesus that did it, I would just be in such gratitude to him and such devotion to him. And I asked earlier who have received healing in their bodies, and there was a few hands that were raised. And even those that are still waiting for some, we should be yelling it out to the world of the goodness.
Yes.
Those things that we've seen in our past, it shouldn't be for us to put him in a little basket and say, oh, he was a nice God, you know. No, we should be telling people, I was this way, but now I'm not. Why? Because of Jesus.
Amen.
So yell it out, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So let's go to Mark 5. Mark seemed to really like writing about miracles and healings, and it's probably the gospel that has the most written about Jesus's miracles and healings. So Mark 5, 24, and we're going to read through 34. And where am I? It says, a crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Sometimes you wonder how long we put up with some of the things that are going on in our bodies. Sometimes we think, I guess it ain't never going to happen, you know. But anyway, I think most of you know this story and you know that it did, right? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Can you relate to that? And had spent all she had. I think we can all relate to that, right? Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. What about some faith there, right? Yeah. About unbelief not being in her. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Right away, she knew. It wasn't like, I'm going to go home and see what happens. Immediately. And Jesus can do that sometimes. There's things that healings can happen immediately. And then, as I said earlier, there's some times that you have to wait, and maybe there's something else that has to take place before it happens. But he hasn't forgotten you. He's still with you. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? You see that the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? And maybe he doesn't specifically know the person, but power came out of him. Somebody touched his heart. Somebody reached to that place that needed to be reached. And that's where we need to get to. What is it? Where is it that we can reach into the heart of God and say, Lord, I need you. I need you for this. I need you. I need an answer for this. How can you reach the heart of God? And this lady, she, in reality, she'd kind of given up on stuff. You know, it's not going to happen, but I've heard of this man. I know he can do it. And her heart was, yes, he can, if I can just touch him. But Jesus, looking around to see who had done it, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.
Amen.
Amen. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
And this is the thing, you know, this here, before he gets rid of the crowd, here he's in a crowd, right? And he doesn't even know who this woman is, but he knows that as he walked through, somebody touched his heart. And so here we go again, not doing this. He's not doing his healings in the same way. He didn't even know who this lady was. He never talked to her, anything. But I think you would agree that from that day on, again, it changed her life. She met the real healer. All these doctors and all this money that she had spent. That, you know, sometimes, you know, as I read that, doctors and medicines get a bad reputation. But I truly believe that they are God's tools. They were placed here for our good. Not all of them. There's some that are not there for the right reason, but for the major part of it, they're there to be used by God. The problem is sometimes that the first thing we go to is them instead of going to God first. And so had this lady come to Jesus, of course he wasn't around 12 years earlier, but it's just something to think about. She would have never had to gone to any doctors and spend no money, right? But I think that's a lot with us. You know, the first place we go to, we feel a little pain or we feel something going on close to our heart and, okay, I got to go see a doctor, you know. And first thing we should be doing is praying and saying, Lord, what's going on? What is it then? We don't want to deny what's going on, but we don't want to focus on it. So his spirit, Jesus' spirit, knew who this woman was. He felt that power be drawn. But here he was, as I said earlier. First time, he wants a crowd away. This time, he's in a crowd, and it's okay. So let's go to one more. John, we're going to go to John 11. Okay, and I'm sure you've all heard this story. This has to do with Lazarus. And, you know, here's another thing that Jesus can do is bring people from the dead. Hey, there you go. You want to be like Jesus? You might want to do one of them. So I want to read just 4 through 7, 11, 4 through 7. It says, when he heard this, and this is Lazarus, they had just told him that Lazarus had passed away. He was sick, I should say. And so when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And when he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. So check this out, right? Lazarus and the whole family, he loved them, you know, and you read other stories of who they were. He would spend time with them in their homes. But you would think, okay, this is a close friend and they're calling out to you. I need you. I need you to come pray for me. I know that you can, that you can heal our brother. And yet, what does he say? There's something else going on here, right? There is something that needs to be done to glorify the Father. And so he says, I'm going to stay 2 more days. Something that probably, you know, as we see, Mary and Martha probably didn't understand, but he did anyway. So now let's go to 41 and 42. We'll skip all the rest of that stuff. So 41 and 42, he's already at the grave. Lazarus has passed away, and Jesus is going to bring him back to life. And so he says, so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So all that waiting and all allowing for Lazarus to be placed in a tomb, it wasn't like Jesus was saying, uh-oh, now what? This was all for the glory of God. He had already heard what the Father had directed him to do. He knew that Lazarus would walk out of that tomb. And so a lot of times, I hope that whatever we do, that we know that it is for the glory of God. He wanted this event to be witnessed. And as we see, it's never the same. He was always led by the Father. So as we read all the miracles that Jesus performed, we don't find it hard to believe that he did them. He healed the blind, the deaf, paralyzed, the mute. He raised the dead. We read all these things and we go, yeah, that's Jesus. He can do that. And we think about these are big, great miracles as far as our eyes can see, right? But to him, they weren't miracles. He was a man walking in the kingdom. Just a man walking in the kingdom, knowing who he was, knowing that he had all power from his Father God, and knowing that that these things that he was doing was for us to see. And he says, you can do all I do, even greater things. And you look at that, and that's pretty big stuff, right? And that's what we should be like. We should be just men walking in the kingdom, knowing that because the Holy Spirit is within us, and because we have been commissioned and given authority to do all he did. We can do all he did and even greater things. Question is, can we really believe it? Our faith is continuously being tested. Sometimes we can ignore the great things that God had done in our past. A new obstacle or a new challenge can usher in fear and doubt. Every time we face something new, it's like sometimes we forget that, you know, maybe a few months ago, we were right where we are today. And we're not there anymore. Why? Because he took care of it. But at that moment, will he take care of it? What do I have to do next? How do I pray? Shall I go get the pastor to pray with me? Whatever it may be that goes through your head and knowing, no, he can do this. He's done it before. I know Stella keeps talking about testimony. You keep talking about the things that he's done in your life. And as I said earlier, if he healed you, speak it out. Have joy in the fact that you were healed. And this is the thing, is that we wind up forgetting that just last week, he just pulled me through something that I thought I was the end of my life. And so do not let doubt or fear come in when you're praying. And remember those things that God has done, those testimonies that we have. The word says that all we need is faith as small as a mustard seed. Yes. The truth being is that we have much more than mustard seed faith. We have the fullness of Christ. Whenever we accept that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we were born again, that Holy Spirit came within us, and all that Jesus had, we have. So let's read 1 John 4:17. Now these are just real quick scriptures. And it says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. So, if we are like him, why would we not do the things he did? Why would we have any doubts? Think about it. If we are like him, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, where are we seated at? It says all authority has been given to him, and then he gave that to us. We have all the authority that Jesus had. We have everything that Jesus had. We have Jesus in here. Amen. How, you know, that seems to be such a fantasy. It's not a fantasy. He lives in us.
Amen.
And it seems like we take that with a grain of salt. We walk around like we've been beat up and don't know what to do. These are things that we should, when we read these things, just believe so that we don't get beat up. Let's look at Romans 8:1. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of us are walking around feeling like we're nothing? Still being reminded of all those things that we did back in our past. And every time that maybe we're needing something today, we're saying, well, maybe I'm not worthy enough because of what I did. And if Jesus doesn't condemn you, no one else has a right to do so. All we need is his approval. We are not to compare ourselves with that person sitting next to you. We are not to say, I want to be like, or I don't want to be like. We sang the last song that we did. Steve, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. In His image. That should be our desire.
Yes.
We want to be like Him. We want to look like Him as He walked on this earth. And if you want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to Him. And you won't go wrong with that. But don't put yourself up against anyone that is alive on this earth. You can admire. You can build them up and say, thank you, Lord, that such a person is around me. Thank you, Lord, that I got to know such and such. What a blessing that man is or that woman is. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to love. God tells us to love each other, right?
Amen.
It's okay to love each other.
Yeah.
But don't compare yourself to each other, because you'll never meet that status or that goal. Some people you'll see them down here and they're not. Some people you see them up there and they're not. So before you start saying, I want to be like that guy, I don't want to be like this guy, put that away. That's not from God. I even forgot where I was.
Take one.
Take one. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. All these scriptures, you know, you read them, you repeat them. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by His wounds, you have been healed.
Amen.
We love speaking those things. But can we really believe that we have been healed? He died on that cross. He took all our sins. We take communion sometimes, you know, when we take communion and the bread is the significance of His body. And that juice we take is the significance of His blood. We should be, our bodies should be whole because He took all sickness upon Himself. He took all sin upon Himself. So we should not be reminded of all the things that we've done in our lives. He doesn't remember them, so why should we? And so we should have a wholeness about who we are. And so when we read something like that, yeah, you know, there's times we pray for people, yeah, by His wounds you have been healed. We just say it rather than to say it. And can we really believe that it has happened? It already happened. And all we're doing now, even if you see something, as I said, there's things still I'm in waiting for. But all I need to do is receive it. And that is my part, just to wait until God's ready. I'm ready for whatever reason. Now, we could continue finding more powerful scripture. I just picked three verses, but of course, we know this book is full of them, right? Everything is powerful in there.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen for that. But they would be meaningless. Any more verses such as these would be meaningless if, as I said earlier, if we're just repeating them. If it's something that's nice to say because, you know, that's what Christians do. So I want to go to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, therefore the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is not meant to be a surface thing, not meant just say it, read it, repeat it. It is meant to cut and penetrate our innermost depth. It's supposed to mean something, supposed to reach our heart. We need to know that doubt and unbelief have no part where truth exists.
Amen.
And when we read this, these scriptures such as that, is that doubt can creep in. And it there's just no place where truth and doubt come together. It's just like, what did it say, oil and water?
Yep.
Not the high mileage oil, but... So, we believe that Jesus performed miracles. And as I said earlier, to him, they were anything but miracles. And so that's where we should be at. We should be able to take a scripture and just think and remember all the things that he did, and let those words that he spoke, let the scriptures that we continue to read, such as this, that they would become such a part of our heart, because we've allowed that penetration, we've allowed that word to come and cut and be embedded within our heart, that when we speak them out, we're not just using our tongue, we're using our heart. And only then can God really come and make these miracles come to pass through us. Jesus would sometimes ask questions of some of those that he prayed for. One such question was, what do you want me to do? I believe he knew the answer, but he wants us to speak out what our need is. When you identify something and you bring it to the light, now he can deal with it. Sometimes we seem to regress our feelings, our thoughts, and the enemy couldn't love it more than for you to just let this all be brewing inside, let it be stirring, making you angry, giving thoughts of, you know, well, that person hurt me, so wait till I get back at them. You know, all these things are going on within us. So when you can sometimes come and identify that is bothering you, or that you know you're going to be dealing with, now when the light shines on it, now Jesus can deal with it. Now he can come and take care of those things that have been bothering you, those things that have been coming against you. So when this happens, because of the authority that we've been given, we have that authority. Now we can speak to these things. We know what we're facing. We know what we're coming against. And if it's something that it's for yourself, just putting it out there and say, Lord, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to act this way. I don't want to treat people this way. I don't want to let these things become a part of who I am. I want to be in your image, Lord. I want to be like you. I want to love like you. I want to treat those around me like you did. We need to let go of the flesh that wants to be in control, the mind that's telling us what to do. And we need to let our spirit be the one that says, no, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. And that's up to us. If we're not saying yes to God, you're going to be miserable, trust me. So we speak. I'm sorry. So we speak to the problem, and we tell the problem all about Jesus. You know, Jesus already knows what's going on. So now we need to be direct with whatever it is that we're facing. We speak to that. We speak to that problem. We tell them, I have a healer. I have a Jesus that walks with me. Whatever it is that you're facing, that you're dealing with, you tell that problem all about Jesus. Yeah. And then you can use scripture. You speak specific scripture to a specific need. And when we don't know how to pray, he does. Sometimes we may not, we're kind of at the end, said every prayer, done everything I can. I don't know what else to pray, Lord, but I don't see an answer. And so, because he knows how, so we'll pray through the Holy Spirit. Because he knows how to pray. We pray in tongues, we pray in whatever way, but we allow the Spirit to pray for us. So we must remember that God's ways are different than ours. And so sometimes he may throw a surprise at us. We encounter something that hasn't quite fit our understanding. So I want to go to Romans 9, 14 and 16. And that one says, then what shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So we could follow the example Jesus left us. We've already talked about how he dealt with different situations. We can do everything that he did, and yet God may throw a surprise at us. We encounter something that doesn't quite fit our understanding. And then we remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. His timing is different than our timing, but it's perfect. And God will be God, and it's not for us to question his ways. After all, whatever we do is for his glory. And so I wanted to bring this up because there's times that there may be people that we know that are receiving healing or being prosperous. Everything's going great. And we're going, where am I, Lord? I love you. But this scripture says, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and compassion with whoever I will have compassion. Just as I said earlier, we can't look at someone and say, boy, that guy's just, boy, he's a real follower of Christ, and look over here and say, boy, that guy needs a lot of help. Because that guy that needs help, maybe that's what he needs, right? He needs a little bit of God's mercy so that one day he will be able to be where God wants him to be. And so you've heard the term, never put God in a box, right? Yeah. He can do what he wants to do. He's God, right? Yeah. And so just expect. That's the word for today, right? Expect. Expect God to do something that maybe you never thought of. So I've got one more scripture, but I'm going to ask you to stand for this scripture. And this is Romans. Okay. And as I said, a lot of these scriptures, I know you know all of them, and it's a good thing. But what I want to do with this one is I want you, I'm going to read verse by verse. And I would like for you to receive and really let each verse, as I said earlier, permeate within your heart, within your spirit. So we're going to read it slowly, and we'll see what God does. Expect God to show you something. Starting with 31, is that what I said?
Yes.
Okay. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Now let that permeate. You believe it. Because who can stand against God?
Nobody.
So you have nobody that will stand against you. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Are you lacking something? You shouldn't be. You just told me you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And this says that because of that, we can have all things. He gives us all things. We lack nothing. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So, are you worried about somebody saying something nasty about you? It might kind of take a little chip in your heart. I don't like it when somebody says something that hurts me or hurts my family, hurts somebody I love. That doesn't feel good, right? Hurts our heart. But it says, who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? So because you are chosen, that in itself is something to really embrace. He chose you. He'll take care of you. And you were specific. Of all the people in this world, you were one that he wanted to walk with. 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. I couldn't ask for a better interceder. You could talk to your favorite person in this church body and say, pray for me. And they will do wonderful things. They will lift you up. But we have Jesus interceding for us. Can we really receive that? Can we receive that he is up with the Father and bringing us up to him and saying, Lord, take care of Aaron. Take care of Bill. You can look around and see all of us that need the interceding of Jesus. Let's go on with 35 and 36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we will face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing's going to separate us. He loves you. He wants us. And what I like on verse 37 is it says, more than conquerors. I don't even know what that means. You know, when you're a conqueror, you just took over, right? But we are more than conquerors. We've gone beyond that thing of winning. We have conquered everything that could ever come against us.
Amen.
And then we go on. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. First, it was the separation of a man. Now he's saying anything in creation cannot separate us from the love of God. Do you really believe that? All these verses, can you really, really let it become something that you will not let the things of the world tell you, oh, that was just another scripture? Can we really embrace this? Can we really let it permeate? And I would say when you go home, read this again on your own and know that God wanted you to hear this today. He wants you to know that with Him, there is no separation, regardless of how, if you think you're doing something that isn't right, He's not going to let you go. He's just going to keep walking until you finally hear Him. So I would say, go home, and at some point, read it again, just you and Him, and just let it be embedded within your spirit. Well, that's my last scripture, but I'd like to pray for you before you're dismissed. So please receive the prayer that I have. Father God, we come before You now, Lord. And Lord, I know that there are some here that are still waiting for that mountain to be moved. Still waiting for that relationship with a son or a daughter or a sister or a brother, some family member that has not quite come to be where it should be. That sickness that's upon someone's body, still waiting, Lord. Today is the day, Lord. Yes. Today is the day. Lift off. And You said that we have the authority, Lord, to pray over whatever sickness, whatever mountain. And in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we speak healing to those people that are waiting, Lord, today. And we say today, we declare today is the day to receive. He said that when you pray, all you wait for is to receive. Receive today. Whatever it is that you've been asking God for, receive it. Know that He's already done it. And it's up to you to say, Lord, I receive. Thank You, Lord, that all those things that can bring us down, Lord, You say to us, no, You are more than conquerors. The things of the past are no longer the things of today. You have forgiven our sins, past, present, and even what we're going to do tomorrow, Lord. Your Son died on that cross so that we could be forgiven. So in the name of Jesus, I bless you with the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you, to counsel you, to just love you up. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed now.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.